I guess I'd start by saying, hey, appreciate everybody coming out. It's draft time, which seems like the next most exciting time in comparison to the season. We've contended all along that we want to build through the draft here, and the draft's important. It's important for us. It's important to make the right decisions, get the right guys. Strategically, I would tell you that, you know, you plan for scenario A to happen, and inevitably that could happen, or there are contingency plans as well to move on. In that, you think about best player available. You think about what needs you may think you may have to address, but need shouldn't outweigh taking the best players for your roster today and tomorrow. The things I think are hot buttons in the league now, characters are actually obviously one of them. Guys that have existing issues, understanding what they are, understanding your risk and your tolerance for risk and when you take risks. Those are all out there. I think we really focus on the idea of continuing to play like a Brown and add guys to that. I think last year was interesting for us. Pitt's first year, my first year, new coaching staff. I think that blend has been a lot smoother this year for how we kind of come about and get together and get everybody organized so that we can make the right decisions for our ball club and how those guys fit. End of the day, we really feel good. There's 10 picks. We got two in the first round. We got three of the top 43. We got four of the top 77. You know, we're excited about kind of where we're at and what's happening. I guess I should take a moment and really thank the scouts. Those are the guys that I don't even know if a lot of you guys even know who a lot of our scouts are to pick them out of if they were just walking through the building. But a lot of tireless effort, singularly focused on improving the football team. And I know a lot of times it may seem like those guys are forgotten warriors, but they're not. They're a vital part of the process, and they help us get to where we're going. Also want to thank our coaching staff. Did a tremendous job this year as well of working both with us. I guess I can get into that for a second. Took some liberties this year to kind of change how we did some things during the offseason, blending and blurring the line between the scouts and the coaches, having those guys work together on some projects to flesh out some of the conversations early on, which I thought was a good part of that. Our group and how we kind of come to these answers is really collaborative. And so at the end of the day, I know myself, Morocco Brown, Bill Koharik, Mike Pettine have spent a lot of time the last several weeks kind of locked behind doors, putting the finishing touches on kind of where we think we are in the draft and who we like and, again, what that plan and then what that contingency plan would look like moving forward. So I think I might have taken enough of the time just kind of catching you guys up as to how we got to where we're at. So if there's any questions, I'm open. I think the big thing for us now is the fact that we have picks, and then they're not compensatory picks. They're just regular picks, so we can move any of them. I think that's what spurns people to call you is the flexibility that you may have in the draft because of the number of picks that you possess. For me, it's more about looking at not being aggressive for the sake of being aggressive or moving for the sake of moving, but trying to create the opportunities that you can create value and you can capitalize on that value. I think they're two independent guys, and they're completely different in a lot of ways. I would say that to kind of answer the question differently, I would say for us it's more about you take advantage of the information that you have on any player, and then you associate that with how you think that guy fits into your building and your culture. I think it's probably a better question for Pett and the coaching staff. I would say from our scouting side, there are things to like about the young man, and those things that you like are the reason that I think he's being talked about where he's being talked about in the draft. There's really not a lot left in the room. Right now it's almost nauseam at the moment of let's go over again. Okay, what are we going to do here? Okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? And you play the what-if scenario, it seems like 10 million times, and it seems like we've played so many times that you feel like you know kind of where things are going to go. But I hate to say it, it's almost like going to the batting cage and you feel like you get in a rhythm and you know where it's at, and then there's this curveball. There's the one ball that dies on you, swing and miss like you haven't been in there all day. So I think that's what the draft's become in my mind. There's always going to be that one selection, that one move that nobody truly anticipated, and that's what you got to be able to adjust to. No, I would not have known a week out. That brings up a good point, which is interesting. You hear all the information. I can tell you right now, nobody's saying anything that's substantial at the moment. They're just not. So all the reports, all of the conjecture, all of the this is happening and that's happening, It's a pretty fluid process, and people say when you make calls and you talk to other teams, hey, we're willing to go up or we're willing to go down. That does me no good. That doesn't help. But, you know, it's the reality. I'd go up if it was the right circumstance, and I'd go back if it was the right circumstance. Those things happen literally much closer to the draft, and a lot of times when you're on the clock, you got to make that in-the-moment decision of, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? And that's where all the contingency planning and the preparation comes into play. Ironically, you can always look at those charts that are out there. I know they're all over the internet. I know we have our own. There's several versions of it. Teams have their own versions. And you try to piece that together. The reality is that, this is interesting, but a lot of the scuttlebutt that you hear and the conjecture and the noise that's out there, it changes the complexion of trying to get a deal done. So if everybody thinks you want something, your price just went up. So if you're the guy that's dying in the desert for thirst and you need a cup of water, your cup of water costs $10,000. Meanwhile, we just gave one to Mary Kay for $1.50. So it's different. Like, and I think that's where it gets interesting is that you hear it, you see it, but then there's no reality until somebody truly makes an offer or makes a push to get something done. I think the thing that distinguishes them is that the guy's been successful. You know, you look at the differences of what guys do and accomplish and how they play. And a lot of it comes down to what was your performance? What did your performance yield? So it's easy to see why, you know, whether it's Marcus, whether it's another player, they get the benefit of the doubt because their teams have had success with them at the helm. So that's where it starts. There's a lot more, I'd say, nuances and intricacies that we can talk about as far as how he delivers the ball. What his footwork's like? What is his accuracy like? What's his decision-making like? Can he progression read? Can he take a 3, 5, 7-step drop with a hitch, make a throw in rhythm? All of those things kind of come into play, and they're technical, and they get past all of the generalities that I think people look at. But it really comes down to how well did the guy play his position in college, and how well do you think your staff and your coaching staff can utilize his skill set to help you win. Every decision comes at a consequence of somebody else. We've brought a lot of guys in on 30 visits. We've talked to a lot of guys at the combine and in different circumstances. The thought process for us, and I've told several young men this, is that the National Football League is different than college football. Like you come into an organization and you make friends and you have friends, but at the end of the day, you're here to take that guy in front of you's job. That's what it comes down to. And so it's a different kind of, it's a different way of looking at it. But the reality is for us, we make the decisions that we think we need to make to improve our football team. And driving competition is a part of that. So I do want player A to compete with player B and player B to compete with player C. And, you know, C may end up being A by the end of the day. And nobody expected it, nobody anticipated it, but the idea is to drive the competition on our roster. And inevitably it's going to come at the demise of somebody. Now, who that person is, I don't know if anybody could say, but, you know, we definitely like the idea of just driving the competition and making the team better. At the end of the day, in certain instances, you take advantage of the opportunities that you have. For us, when you think you have enough information on a player, there's no reason to continue to move forward. When you've kind of finalized and you kind of know where you're at, You put the period on it and you end the story. For us, when you have a good feel for a player, that's what it comes down to. We think we know who he is. We think we know what he's capable of. We think you know kind of where he would fit for us, assuming that he was with us. So no reason to take that any further than we went. Doesn't impact it one iota. Every position on our roster, if I had to play today, I feel good about if we went out and played. End of the day, I think it comes down to, again, take the best player available, move forward, improve your football team, and see if you can't get better with the guys that you bring into the building. Nope, not one iota do I feel like we missed it or we didn't do it. At the end of the day, there's a balance between what you know and then what you can expect and then what you think you can change. End of the day, I do appreciate our staff. I think our staff does a really good job. We've taken extra steps in trying to challenge kind of what others could dig up and what they could figure out and what they would know and what they could kind of utilize to garnish a better idea of who a player is. The reality is I think we do a really, really good job of unearthing the information that's out there. End of the day, you got to believe kind of what people tell you about kids. I don't get the luxury or no team gets the luxury of living in whatever city for 4 years and understanding who that young man is. So you're at the mercy of what people tell you. And the information that we got was consistent around the league as far as I've been told. I've talked to probably half a dozen teams more here recently just to make sure that you kind of quality controlled that. And at the end of the day, the character background stuff is what it is. You just got to determine if you assume that that's risk, how much risk you're willing to take. I like where I'm at. And if, like I said, if I had to go play today, I'd go play today. There's always unknowns. There's always pieces that you want to continue to drive competition at. I think for us, how we play ball, the league in general, in my mind, is getting more specialized. So that specialization has allowed a variety of players to play on any particular defense. And so I'd say it in this regard. D linemen, in a lot of cases, they rotate. Like, there's very few guys that are going to just play, you know, 95% of snaps as a defensive lineman. They're going to be a rotation or a wave of players. Same thing at linebacker. Very, you know, the Mikes, you know, used to have an old school Mike linebacker that was a downhill thumper. Those guys are so versatile now that they're trying to keep guys on the field and rotate them and use them in different ways. Same in the secondary. You see a lot of safeties slide down and play nickel linebacker. You see a lot of corners slide in and play nickel, et cetera, et cetera. Some corners may even slide back and play nickel safety. So I think the player utilization and the wave prospects and the differences that allow guys to slide around, it helps us overall. So I feel comfortable where we're at. I think it requires a variety of defensive linemen. Not necessarily more, because now you get trapped by roster numbers. So you can't really go out and say, well, let's just have 10 or 12 defensive linemen. You got to keep it in the context that you have. But, again, it's kind of like I explained before about wide receivers and different positions. You may want two big guys. I need two quick guys. I need two guys that can play, you know, a variety of roles. I need two long guys. I'm okay with two short guys. It's just kind of that mix and match of skill sets and abilities that I think can make you more dynamic than just trying to say I have this one player or these two players. I think for me it's all about, again, I've said this repeatedly, I like the idea of slow brewed, fresh brewed coffee. I'm going to grind my coffee beans. I'm going to get my filter out. I'm going to pour it in. I'm going to let it sit, simmer, and then I'm going to get a good cup. You know, we all want it to happen like right away. We want these guys to come in. I think you want to improve your football team. I thought we did that last year. I think we found guys in second round, third round, free agents, guys that came in, contributed, and played. Now, the reality that everybody wants the first ones to be, like, great players right away, sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. I think from my perspective, yeah. Do you feel like you want those guys to come in and contribute more? Absolutely. You'd love for everybody to come in and play and be great. You know, I don't think that they're done. I think they have more to offer. And at the end of the day, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to try to add guys to this roster that I think improve us. Right exactly where we were before. We support the young man that he took steps that he needed to take. And at the end of the day, we realized that, you know, he's a part of our organization and we're moving forward. You know, he said it best. You know, he's gonna do his best to show and not talk about it. So I'm probably in that camp as well. Let's just see what happens. I always think that you take the opportunities where you get them. If there's a receiver that provides the best value and the best player, then we'll probably take that guy. If it's not, and there's a guy that we think can influence our team or help our team in a different way, that in a better way, we'll take that guy. So, I'm anti-wide receiver. That's not the case at all. I do think that, you know, we have guys that can contribute and can play. And to that effect, you know, I think our guys played pretty well last year, and I think they'll do the same this year and probably be a little bit better. We do have analytics in our building, and every piece of what we do has a requisite part of the puzzle. It's not – I can't tell you that this is 99.95% of what we do. But at the end of the day, I would say that we take all of that into consideration when we make any decision. Again, the fact that his name's being talked about as being the first overall pick should let everybody put at ease that most people feel confident or comfortable that this guy's going to be an NFL quarterback. The person, I guess I see all the commentaries and the question marks about who the young man is. And we've done our character background information work, and we have an opinion on that I'll remain private. So we'll he's got his opportunities to – and, again, he's said it pretty openly, I think, that he wants to be the number one guy selected in this draft. Now, whether or not that happens, that's not my call. That's somebody else's call. But we can respect his ability to play football. Sure. Why not? I mean – I should probably stop using pest words. But, yeah, right player, right price, sure. I mean, there's always guys, and again, it's interesting how people get into these swells of, you know, running back shouldn't go in the first round. I don't see why. If you get a guy and that's kind of who you are and what you want to be, why wouldn't you? I guess it's probably where I'm at, you know. Some people say the guy's got to be Adrian Peterson to be taken in the first round. Just to throw a name out there, and it's like, you know, I don't know if anybody could ever say that they knew it was going to be what it was going to be, because otherwise somebody would have drafted him as the first overall player and not where he went. Do I really need to add somebody at some position on the offense to drive competition? All of them. Again, it's always about trying to find the best players to make your team better. There's not one room in our building that doesn't require another player to try to push that competition better, because it's going to make the guys that we have that we all know are probably going to be on the team, it's going to make them better, it's going to make us better, and inevitably we're going to get better as a football team. The guys in the draft, I do think there's guys in this draft that they could help you. The question of how do they fit into our defense and kind of how do we see them, had a lot of extensive conversation with the coaches about player A versus player B, how would player A fit versus the guys on our roster. So those conversations have been had of who helps, who doesn't, who's good, who's not. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of talk about where those guys will go and kind of what who may be available when it's your turn to select and what the values become. But what you don't want to do is end up getting the fifth guy on the list, on our list, and be like, oh, well, we got one, but he's fifth. And you don't really love it. Or do you just take your time, make the best pick, and if you get one, you get one. If you don't, you don't. But the guys that are currently on this roster, I feel good about those guys. Paul Kruger, Mingo, Scott Solomon. I know some good people saw Scott at the end of last year. All the guys that are in those rooms, Armani Bryant coming back. There's, I mean, guys that you guys don't know or probably don't know as much about. Keith Pugh. There's other guys that I think that have ability to play in this league and given the right opportunity to compete and put their skill set forward. They either make it or they don't, but again, add another one is not a negative either. I don't know where this stuff comes from. I know last year somebody asked a question about Marcus Mariota, and I answered differently than everybody else that I talked about. Like I said, I guess I was saying, yeah, I like him or I like that player. Then it got to Mariota, and I said, yeah, he's good. Or I changed what I said, and then from that moment on, he's been my guy. So I guess it doesn't really matter what I say. He's my guy. So I'm going to leave it at that and let you guys decide kind of when he's my guy and when he falls out of being my guy. Depending upon where you get him from, like there's guys in certain schools that they do play in line. There's other guys that they play detached, and they're almost big wide receivers or glorified wide receivers. I'd probably say the position that's almost non-existent is fullback. Like you don't see guys playing fullback. Teams don't use them. So if you want a fullback or if you want, like you gotta have to create one. You're going to have to take a linebacker or take a guy that was a smaller tight end that didn't have the length of the measurables. You have to figure it out. So that's probably the one position that I tell you that is it's the hardest to figure out where do you get one from. There's very few of them. So either you got to take the notion of you're going to Alabama who runs the ball, you're going to Stanford, you're going to, you know, there's very few teams that play with the traditional old school fullback. I struggle with that one because I think in college football, again, I'll go back to the game is different. The NFL is not getting a pipeline of traditional NFL quarterbacks the way they used to. So when you look at whether it's Mariota, whether it's – I'll say any quarterback that played in the spread, and we can go back past the spread. Like my son's 12, and they run the spread. And I'm like, they can't even throw the ball, but somehow they're lined up with guys all over the field. But it's kind of become the – it's what it is. Like that's where you're getting your players from. So the league in general's got to figure out – how do you take guys from this system, change kind of what they are if you're going to do something different with them, and plug them in? That's what it comes down to. You either got to figure out how to make the adjustment or everybody's going to start running the spread in the National Football League. So it's one of the two. And I think the teams that figured out the fastest or changed the fastest will reap the benefits of kind of what's out there. So that's what it comes down to. You got to make a plan. You got to have a plan, a direct plan for any guy you take that you're going to do something different with them than what he was asked to do previously, because it's all a projection at that point. It's the same thing that Terry asked about whether it's a tight end and is he an inline guy or is he a guy that played as a detached guy and now you're going to make him play on the line of scrimmage. If he didn't do those skill sets prior, you're going to have to figure out a plan to get that guy to operate in that capacity. All voluntary. So, you know, Tayshaun is at home and has his rights to be at home. So I would say I hope he's doing whatever he's doing to prepare himself for the next season. But, again, the NFL has decided that these guys deserve downtime. And as a former player, I used to love downtime. So it's a positive in that respect. Constantly reported that we're just starved and we're going to do whatever we got to do to get there and we're going to trade all of everything we have to get one person. I don't know why that is, but it seems to make for good media because people like it. So you read it, you see it, and it's what it is. I mean, end of the day, the object is to improve your football team and to win football games. Like, so I get that there's this notion at times that there's a silver bullet or there's this one magic player that's going to walk in here on a horse and we're going to start winning games and he's going to be the reason we did it. I just don't believe in the fairy tale anymore. I just think you gotta get your hammer and your nails and you got to go out and build a house, and that's what it's going to take. You got to take your time and put it together the right way. He very well may be. He might not be. It depends upon what you have an opportunity to acquire, and then if that guy comes in and plays better than the guys that are currently here. It's an opportunity-driven league. I think in some respects, nobody would assume that Tony Romo would become Tony Romo, but somehow he's Tony Romo. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. There was a time when Aaron Rodgers was sitting behind Brett Favre, and people were like, well, he's never played, so he can't be very good, because they would do something. And then 3 years into it, they roll him out, and now he's Aaron Rodgers. So end of the day, I think that patience and a plan and the consistency to drive that competition is kind of where it lies for me. You could say that, but I could in turn say that when Tom Brady got to New England, they were built on defense and the run game. So was he really the magic bullet, or did he grow into that? So it's the what came first, the chicken or the egg? At some point, the guy's a really good player. I don't doubt that at all. And I don't doubt that, you know, Luck's a good player. I don't doubt that Manning's a good player. The reality is that it takes a team to win. And, you know, those guys need the team to have success. You know, without the team, then you don't see the benefits of kind of what they produce. I think that I'll say this, that decision hasn't been finalized yet. Jimmy, myself, Pitt will have some conversations about kind of what that happens. But at the end of the day, there's not one decision that I make in this building that's made in a vacuum where I just walk out of my office and deem that this is what's going to happen. So I think that to that degree, when I'm not around for that time, I would assume and I believe that they're going to continue to operate in a way that we're collaborative and we work together and we make decisions that benefit the club. And it's not just my decision that rests, you know, autonomously over everyone else's.